It's the Mornings with Ed show, and if you know anything about me, you remember back when I had the Apollo astronauts on, I was totally geeked out then. I am once again geeked out as we welcome Peggy Chase and Dawn Marie Davis with the Orange County Bird of Prey Center. And more importantly than anything else, they brought Quest with them, and Quest is the American...
Kestrel.
Welcome, ladies. Thank you for coming this morning.
Thanks for having us, Ed.
Thank you. This is going to be a really cool experience here. An American kestrel, what is that, a hawk?
Actually, the American kestrels are the smallest of the North American falcons.
Okay.
And falcons are raptors that fly very fast. They hunt from usually on the wing,
right.
Where they're killing something on the wing.
Okay.
So they're incredibly fast flyers, very maneuverable. So when I talk about a raptor, I'm talking about a bird that hunts other animals.
Right.
So what defines a raptor is the shape of their beak.
Okay. And I see a very efficient beak
a
here.
A very That's efficient like, beak, yes. Yeah. It's hooked. The upper beak is hooked. The lower beak is smaller. And that's so they don't have a knife and fork.
Right.
So they have to be able to both kill their food and then put it in small enough pieces.
So but when you say hunt on the wing, they hunt other birds then?
The falcons are the ones that hunt other birds. Okay. Most people think of a peregrine falcon, which right. is about three times the size of the kestrel. And the peregrines are the ones that fly very, very fast. Right. They're flying over 200 miles an hour in their dive.
Just think about that, 200
miles an hour.
200 miles an hour.
It just blows my mind.
It's likewise. So will I find this type of bird in my trees here in Laguna Beach?
Well, absolutely.
Really?
Kestrels do very well around us. Okay. Their main food source are hard-bodied insects, right. as well as things like sparrows and finches. So for all of your listeners that like to have bird feeders,
right.
We thank them very much for feeding these birds as well.
They'll obviously chase other birds away. And
they
here,
will.
This
if,
is now
if,
my feeder.
Yes, if things get very quiet at your feeder, look up in the trees and you might be seeing a falcon.
So I imagine that she was injured at one point.
So all of the birds that we have at our facility, the main purpose of our facility is to rehabilitate the injured and orphaned birds of prey in Orange County. Unfortunately, sometimes we get a bird in that can't be released
right.
because its injuries are too severe. What happened to Quest is unfortunately a very common situation that we have here in Orange County. Someone was pruning a tree in the springtime,
okay.
and her nest was destroyed. She wasn't flying at the time. She was still a hatchling. And unfortunately, when she was brought in, she'd been hand-fed by people.
Right.
And so she looked at them and learned to be who she was by looking at them.
Right.
Your parents teach you how to be who you are. Right. This is something that's called imprinting. It's really important to survive.
Right.
You know, if your parents didn't teach you how to hunt, how to go to the grocery
right.
store here, then you wouldn't know how to feed yourself. And it's the same in the wild with these wild animals.
So if I ever find one, should I just start feeding it with my mouth instead
of... Oh, that
know,
would just be awesome. Yes. No,
oh, no,
not a good
no?
choice.
Okay.
We recommend with any of the wild animals, call animal control.
Right.
And they can... We actually train animal control what to do with the raptors, the owls, hawks, eagles, falcons, and vultures. What they will do is assess the situation.
Right.
A lot of times the public will bring us in teenagers.
Okay.
So... that are they're still being taken care of by mom and dad, kind of like going to college.
Right.
Mom, you don't see mom and dad, but mom and dad are still taking care of you.
Right.
And that's what
I
happens.
Love that.
Isn't that?
I love that. Yeah.
And that's what happens with these birds. Mom and dad kind of kick them out of the nest. They start to branch or fledge, and you don't see mom and dad, but mom and dad are still there.
Okay.
So a lot of times the public will call and say, "Oh my goodness, there's this young bird sitting on this low branch. It must be abandoned," and they'll bring it into us. Well, what we do is we immediately take it back out and put it back where it was.
Right.
Mom and dad are the best parents, not us.
Okay. Now, what's the lifespan of a bird like this?
That's a great question. So we used to look at the wild animals, and we could tell how long they lived with a healthy environment.
Right.
We don't have a super healthy environment around here. So typically, in a wild environment, a kestrel can live 10 to 15 years in the wild.
Okay.
In an urban environment like this, or suburban environment, we're seeing about 5-ish years.
And a lot of that is due to the pollutants, and maybe even sometimes a lot of pesticides that we use, right?
Absolutely. We have a lot of issues where we've taken over their area where they live.
Right.
So there's their habitat has decreased quite a bit. Birds also didn't evolve with windows.
Right.
So when they're looking, especially next to that bird feeder, they're going, if this bird's flying 70 miles an hour after that little bird, she's not going to see that window.
Right.
So we do get some building shock. But one of the things we're struggling with the most right now, and this is for all of the high-level predators, bobcats and cougars, they're picking up poisoned rodents.
Right.
So when we poison our mice and rats, they don't just die in our houses. They go outside because they feel safer outside. And then they get picked up by these higher level predators. And so the use of rodenticide has been pretty traumatic to their lifespan and to the population in Orange County.
I'm going to take this moment to let the audience know, you know, you got rats or mice, those old fashioned wooden ones, just snap right on them and they work.
Absolutely. Snap traps are phenomenal.
Nothing better. There's nothing worse than poisoning your surroundings. And I just don't get it. I don't get the rat poison thing. I really don't.
There's actually a great website. It's called Raptors Are the Solution.
Right.
Rats. Get it? R-I-T-S. And it's up in the Bay Area, and they're doing a lot of work on what you can use to take care of a rodent problem. Sure. I always recommend people, if you have your cat, and of course it's an indoor cat, you're not letting it out where it's, you know, hunting right. The songbirds. But your cat's in the house, just don't feed them quite so much, and you won't have a rodent problem anymore.
There you go.
Pretty easy.
It's just that easy. It is that easy. So you have a, once they're rehabilitated, you release them back into the wild.
We do.
And you have one coming up on October 12th?
As long as all the weather and permits come through, absolutely. Okay. It's probably my favorite time of the year. Twice a year, we do a release, and that's when the public gets to come in and see these magnificent creatures.
Very cool.
So we meet at our first release site, and for any of our sponsors, to sponsor one of these birds, it's $200, and you get to bring your family members. Okay. Where we are different than a lot of the other groups is we talk to you about the birds that are going, right. And then you're the person, we give you a glove.
Right.
You put on that glove, and
yeah.
We hand you the raptor to
talking
release.
My language right now.
I'm getting shivers right now. Right. I've been doing this a very long time, and it's still the most amazing thing to watch, you know, whether it's a child or an adult or even, you know, when we have our senior citizens, they probably are the most giddy, where they're holding the bird. You get to take pictures and ask questions. And then you're the one that lets it go back in the wild.
That's a wild thought. I just got the same shiver you got. I just got that. That's pretty cool.
Best selfie ever.
It really is. So on the 12th, for instance, let's say the day of the release, uh-huh. How do you prepare the bird? What do you do to the bird that morning? How do you prepare it?
So we've been watching the birds all along. They're all of the wild birds are in what we call mews, or very large flight cages.
Right.
And we're watching them. We're assessing them for, are they healthy? Are they able to hunt correctly? Is whatever their injury repaired enough to go back out into the wild?
Right.
The day of, our veterinarian, who's also the chairman of our board, Dr. Scott Weldy, he's been doing this since 1987 is when he first started with this facility and now runs it. He comes in with one or two of his other veterinarians as well as some of our seasoned volunteers,
right.
And we have to catch the birds.
Right.
It's kind of a fun day for us because we've been watching these birds for so long to actually be able to see, yep, they're ready to go.
Right.
Then we put them into, I know it doesn't sound very dressy, but cardboard carriers, like the cat carrier you take to the vet hospital.
Right. Because just handy.
It's very handy. Right. And we're releasing anywhere from 40 to 60 birds at a time.
Wow.
So to transport them to the release sites, right. We got to have them in kind of a small container.
Right.
So we put them into the boxes and drive them immediately to the site. And it's a little stressful on the birds, right. In that they aren't very happy to be around us, which is what we like.
Right.
We don't want it to be this very soft, easy time. We want them to go away from us.
Right.
So although a lot of people say, gosh, that's kind of frightening that they're in those little boxes, no, we want them to associate the scary little box with people and then never come near people again.
Let me get the heck out of here.
Exactly.
Right? That's actually really, really good. What is it? And I know that it's got to cost different for each bird and what they need and medications and stuff like that. What does it generally cost to rehab a bird?
The average is about $1,000 a bird.
All right.
So to be able to sponsor one for $200 is it's on sale.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's a bargain right there.
Some of our birds, like I talked about, the ones that have been brought in by the well-meaning public and that we can take right back to their nest site. Obviously, all we're going to do is assess those birds, right. Make sure that they're healthy, and then take them right back. It could be less than 2 or 3 days. Right. If it's something like an eagle that has been shot and may need multiple surgeries, it's going to be well over $1,000.
Wow.
So that's why we just use that number.
All right. So and our listeners can help how? What's the best way that we can help you?
Any kind of donation is awesome.
Okay.
Our website is www.ocbpc.org. It's Orange County Bird Prey Center.org.
Okay.
You can do a search for us as well.
Or call me here. I'll have it for you.
There you go.
For the rest of my life, I'll have that address in my head.
We'll be seeing you at our next release, I'm sure.
Yes,
and perhaps the one after that.
Yes, you will.
Then we also do the sponsorships,
okay.
Where you can sponsor one of the wild birds to be released or one of our education birds. A lot of people fall in love with a specific education ambassador, and they want to sponsor their care. You can also, one of my favorite things to do is we do a lot of education presentations.
Okay.
So we take the birds out to schools, to civic groups, to campfires down at the state beach we do almost every year, a lot of the county parks, anywhere from kindergarten all the way through college.
Right.
High school is the hardest venue, as everyone knows. But they're fun. It's always a joy when you get a kid that gets engaged.
And I'm guessing the younger ages, when you take them to an elementary school, that's the opportunity right there to just put it in their heads forever. Hey, man, this is something you need to take care of.
Absolutely.
You need to be a steward to this.
It really is. Though there are times I used to teach at Saddleback all the time.
Right.
And to see that JC kid who hasn't figured out what he wants to do, and then to, oh my gosh, I think I want to do something to do with rehab or with nature or with science.
Right.
That's a pretty big moment too.
Has there been a bird where you thought when you first took them in that it wasn't going to make it, but it ended up making it? Is there a story that, is there that story?
Actually, one of our favorite education birds, Tweak, is a great horned owl.
Okay.
And we did not think he was going to make it. We really thought a number of times that we were going to have to euthanize him. And it pretty much, at the day that we were making the decision, yep, he's not going to make it. We've got to put him down. He would pass whatever milestone he needed to pass that day. So he's become kind of a little bit of our favorite.
All right.
And then we do. We have wild birds that have stayed with us a lot longer than normal.
Right.
And they just haven't come along and haven't come along. And then something brings that spark of life to them, and they start flying again and exercising enough that we're able to let them go back in the wild.
This is magnificent. I could sit here and talk to you for hours, just hours and hours. Okay, if you missed any portion of this, it's going to be up on the KX935 website. I'll be podcasting this. Just click on the website, go to the podcast page, and it's the Mornings with Ed page. We're talking to Peggy Chase. She's the director of OC Bird of Prey Center. And Dawn Marie Davis, volunteer and prior release participant. Now, you participated in a release.
I did. Twice. I've been, and I took all of my children, who are teenagers, and all of their friends. I just packed up the car and said, come on, guys, put your phones down. This is what we're doing. And the neatest thing happened, Ed. I noticed over the past year, since the first one we've been to, the kids will be out bike riding in the street or, down at the park, and they'll come running and say, look, I saw a white-tailed kite. I saw a hawk, or did you see that? And it just kind of gave them an awareness where they're looking up.
Yes.
And to me, that's everything. They have an appreciation for it. And it was just such a magical, wonderful experience.
And give me the feeling in your soul as soon as you released the bird.
Especially even just watching all of the birds be released.
Right.
I left the last time and I thought, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I love them.
Yeah.
I love every single one of them. And they don't respond to you necessarily. Mm. They don't know you're helping them, but it's just a magical experience. And it's something where you can make a difference.
Right.
And you can have this up close wildlife encounter that, we get to watch a lot of that on television, but to see it and feel it, your heart just bursts.
Yeah.
And you just root for them. You're just like, go, fly, okay.
So on October 12th, where do we meet? Where do we all meet?
So if you sponsor a bird, our donations coordinator will be in contact with you. We're trying to decide where our first release site will be.
Okay.
A lot of it depends on the weather. We have a couple of different locations, but they're all in the Lake Forest area.
Right. Okay. Once again, Peggy Chase, Dawn Marie Davis, you've made my day.
Fantastic.
You've absolutely made my day. And again, I can't forget Quest. Quest, you made my day as well.
And you've made Quest day. She's very, very calm.
Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies. We'll talk to you
soon.
Thank you,
Ed.
Bye.